Long time ago, I came to terms with the fact that I will probably always be a kid who never outgrows the why stage of life. Maybe you're one like me. But I never grow tired of asking why about everything. And I guess I'm like the child that gets to that stage. You know how it is. Children get to that age where they're just beginning to reason enough to start asking all those questions. Why? And I was told a while back that one of the best answers you can give for a child in that stage is, well, why do you think that is? It doesn't work for very long if it works at all, because a child wants more than that. And I'd have to say it doesn't work too well for me either. Just tell me why that is. That's enough reason to dig in and try to figure it all out. So I will probably, hopelessly, always be a why kind of a child, no matter how old I get. And I think that every one of us should be like that as far as asking why, especially as we consider the topic before us today concerning why was Jesus born. There is a great deal of focus on the what and the when, and we're not going to talk too much about that, but we're going to talk this morning about the why of the life and the birth of Jesus. Why was he born into the world? And to know those things are so vitally important. In fact, I think that no one ever lived a more well-defined purpose life than Jesus. And so we do well this morning to consider why he was born. And so let's start with the probably the best known reason why he was born. And that is the fact that Jesus was born to save. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 11, a passage very familiar this time of year. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Matthew, chapter 1, a parallel account, verse 21, an angel pronouncement saying that Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was born to save. In fact, that child born in Bethlehem is described in four different terms in those two verses. He is called Savior, he is called Christ, he is called Lord, and he is called a son. One of my pet peeves, and has been for a long time, is the misunderstanding of Christ. Many people assume that Christ is the family last name. And there is that assumption that Jesus was born of Joseph and Mary Christ. That's not right. So in case you think that, I don't want to insult anybody, but in case you were thinking that, that is not correct. Christ is not the family last name. It is a very important title. And Messiah is synonymous with Christ. Messiah simply means one who is sent. And as such, one who is sent from God. So he has that express purpose that he is the one who has been sent from God, a unique destiny and mission. And so therefore that is what Christ means. So therefore he is Lord in a certain realm. He has authority that has been given to him from God himself. So again, in case you think Christ is the family last name, let's maybe once and for all dispel that. Christ is a title, not the family last name. Savior perhaps is less confusing to us. It simply means a deliverer or a preserver. And certainly, a misunderstanding right from the very beginning over Savior is what got Jesus in a lot of trouble. Because when the idea of him being a Savior, of course, the people of the day thought Savior means save us from the political mess that we're in. Here was a nation enslaved under the tyranny of the Roman Empire. And so these people eagerly look forward to political deliverance. So if the Son of God is a Savior, then certainly he must save us from this oppressive government that we live under. Of course, we know that wasn't exactly the plan at that time. That is ultimately the plan in the future for all of us. But he came as a Savior to save us, first of all, from sin. And how very, very important that is. In fact, if we are not saved from sin, we are not going to be saved for that kingdom that people anticipated then and anticipate today. And I have to say, that's one of the things I long for probably as much as anything, is I want the Savior to come back and save me from this world system. And I guess the older I get, the more I see what's wrong with the system of the world. You probably do too. I watch the news way too much. I probably should turn the TV off more and read less newspaper. But, you know, you kind of got to know what's going on in the world. But the more you know of those things, you know what's wrong with the world. And I don't have to give you a lot of detail about that, because you could probably stand up here and talk for a very long time about what's wrong with the world. We long for a Savior that will save us out of this system. He will do so. But first of all, if we don't appreciate the fact that He came to save us from our sins, there's really not a lot of point in talking about saving us out of this system for the system to come, the age to come. And that was certainly a key problem with the Jewish people in the days of Jesus when He first came. Again, they wanted a political Savior. But first and foremost, they needed a Savior who would save them from themselves, from their sin. And so Jesus ultimately has come as the Savior to save us from our sins, to prepare us, to save us from the system of this world. When we say that Jesus was born to be Savior, ultimately He is the Savior of the Savior. And a verse that we often use here, especially to conclude our services, Jude 25, says, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority." To the only God, our Savior. Wait a minute, it said Jesus is the Savior. Well, indeed, He is the sent one, the Savior of the ultimate Savior. To the only God who is our Savior, through Jesus Christ, is the plan. And so Jesus is the Savior of the Savior. In fact, it's important to know what His name means. Jesus, or perhaps Yeshua, depending on how you pronounce it, His name literally means Yahweh is our salvation. So His name means that He is the Savior of the Savior. God is our salvation through this unique and one and only Son who has come into the world. And so Jesus is the Savior of the Savior. Now, the key reason why Jesus was born, He was born to serve. Not only was He born to save, but He was born to serve. One of the most descriptive verses about His life, and these are His own words, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 45, He said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Last part we've just talked about, to be a Savior, to give His life as a ransom for many, to offer His life on behalf of our lives. He came to do that, but He said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." What a statement, because if anybody deserved to be served, it was the Son of God. The one who would inherit the entire world, the one who's the highest of all that God has made, certainly if anybody deserved to be served, it is Jesus. But Jesus says, "That's not my purpose. I didn't come for you right now to bow down. One day every knee will bow." And so that will happen. But He said, "My purpose in coming to the earth is to serve and to give an example of service. I came to pour my life out in service to lost humanity." And so that was His purpose. In fact, that statement prefaced something that He had just stated to His disciples, who certainly did not get any of this. In Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 44, He said to His disciples, and I think ultimately to us, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way," He says, "among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all." Anytime I read that, I think of the upside down pyramid. In the world, the pyramid is the powers at the top with the few. And people are trying to climb to the top to be great. But Jesus says you can't use that system if you follow me, because He said it really is the other way around. The power is literally at the bottom. If you want to be great, dig yourself down in service. Whoever wants to be somebody's got to be a nobody. And He said, "That's my purpose. I've come to model that." And you look at the 3.5 year ministry of Christ and what would characterize His life: service. It wasn't about Him. It wasn't about His needs, desires, and wants. It was about the will of His Father, which involves serving others. And so He says, "I've come to offer to you a pattern. This is the way that you should live your life, even as I have lived my life." In fact, we have not come to grasp the significance of the life of Christ until humble service becomes a priority. And that is a great challenge. That does not come easy to human nature. But nevertheless, if we would be followers of Christ, we would not be those who are lording it over others, those who seek to be somebodies. We're those who seek to be nobodies, so that we eventually inherit the kingdom of God as we follow the pathway of Jesus in service. Jesus was born, thirdly, to rule or to reign. The very familiar angel announcement, a quote from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, where an angel said that he will be great. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. He will be great. He will become great. He will be called the Son. He will be given the throne. All those things that are yet to happen, things that God will bestow upon him. God is in the process of doing those things, but the express purpose and plan of God is to give all those things to his Son, who was born so humbly into the world. Words like throne, words like reign, words like kingdom, those are politically charged words. And you know the story, how Herod, who was the ruler of that day and age, knew about that child, and he was very much threatened by what he knew about him. And so, of course, the familiar tragic story of killing off all the firstborn sons. In so doing, he thought, well, I'm going to get the one who's after my job. And so he was very much concerned about that political aspect of the Son of God, knowing that he was destined to be a political ruler, of course, not understanding anything about God's plan. But that was the way he handled that situation. Nobody usurps me. I get rid of the kid now so he doesn't grow up to take over my job. You know, I think about that aspect of the work, the life, the purpose of Christ. And I think that all the governments of the world ever since have been as threatened as Herod. And so there's always been the attempt to put down that political rulership that inevitably comes through Jesus. In fact, I might also say that's probably the riskiest part of being one of his followers. Is if we align ourselves with the one who's going to overthrow the systems of the world, we're likely to get in a lot of trouble with the world, because, you know, we're talking mutiny here. We're talking about overthrowing everything that exists. That's Jesus' plan. If we're his followers, we participate in that. The world doesn't like that very much. In fact, Psalm 2, the first two verses describe so very, very well what has gone on all these years between the system of God and the system of this age. It says, really beginning with a question, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And that is so descriptive. That has been going on for years and years, and believe me, it goes on today. That the nations are in an uproar. People are devising vain things, and the kings of the earth are taking their stand against the Lord and against his anointed, against God and against his Son. And that kind of jockeying goes on today. It will go on right until the time when God sends his Son back and fulfills exactly what they're worried about now. So the governments and the systems of this present world literally are locked in mortal combat with the kingdom of God. And again, ultimately, God through his Son will overthrow the whole system. You know well enough by now that I love to talk about this kingdom aspect of God and of his Son. And it occurred to me recently one more reason why I like this so much. I guess it's because I think of the time that I grew up, the 60s and the 70s. That was a real anti-establishment era, you know. Lots of anti-establishment stuff was going on, and a lot of people had their idea of how to, you know, down with the establishment. I guess that kind of resonated a little bit with me, and I've decided to join the ultimate anti-establishment cause. And that's why this appeals to me, because that's what Jesus is going to do when he comes back under the authority of God, is to be down with the establishment. So you look around at what's wrong with the establishment, and don't organize resistance today and get the placards and go out and march against it. That won't do a lot of good. But instead, I encourage you to join the ultimate anti-establishment movement. Jesus, who's going to overthrow it all and establish what's right. And I think that's a good cause to be involved in. Amen? So we're all together on that, all right? Good. Okay, we're the ultimate anti-establishment people because we follow the anti-establishment person. And I think that is great. So together with Jesus, we take part in a rebellion that is going to overthrow everything. And that's a good cause for us to be involved in. You know, I was thinking of one of the amazing things that happens this time of year is that the world literally gets to be saturated with this kingdom message that we're talking about here. They are saturated with it through song, and I guess I have to believe they're probably not paying a lot of attention, but the message is really going out loud and clear, and I'm glad for that. One in particular that's been kind of novel this year. Maybe you've seen the video. There's a popular video on the internet that's gone around about an organized effort, and it didn't seem like that, but in a food court in a mall in Canada where these people sang Handel's Messiah. Have y'all seen that video? I thought about showing it here, but I thought it might take too much time. But if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. But a part of this is personal for Jill and I because that's the mall closest to where her family lives. We have been in that food court many, many times, so we see the scene and it's like, yeah, we've been there. Well, this is really pretty cool because these people are standing up and they're singing Handel's Messiah. I have played that video time and time again and I still get chills every time I hear it because these singers are sharing the message of Revelation 11 and 19, which is the basis for the song they sing from Handel's Messiah. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. I'm not going to sing it, you notice. I'm just going to read the words because I couldn't do justice to it. But King of kings and Lord of lords, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the omnipotent, reigneth. I guess I've had a fresh appreciation for the message of that very old, I don't know what Handel's Messiah is, but whatever you call it anyway, I've come to appreciate it a lot more for that reason, where it was performed on that occasion, but again, the message of it. And again, I think, do the people really get that message when they hear that? And there's other seasonal songs, some that we've sung this morning, that proclaim that message. The days are hastening on by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace, their King. That's good kingdom theology. And He'll rule the world with truth and grace. Again, the writer had the idea. This child growing up to one day come back as King of kings and Lord of lords. And He will rule the world with truth and grace. He will bring in the ultimate establishment and get rid of this establishment today that is so corrupt and so wrong. And so I think about what a great message that people have the opportunity to hear. Again, I don't know if they're getting it. I suspect not. But there is a great opportunity to pay attention to the lyrics of those songs and say, yeah, that's the truth of Scripture. When we think of the fact that Jesus is born to rule, we share the same destiny as His followers. That is the purpose of our lives. Why were we born? You want to get down to your ultimate purpose statement? You are born to rule as a follower of Christ. In fact, I thought it might be good to print some bumper stickers. Born to rule. And just see if that doesn't start some conversation. Yeah, He was born to rule, and we are too. And that's all about the kingdom and what's to come. And so maybe we should do that. Somebody wants to go out and print up some bumper stickers. I've never put bumper stickers on my car. I'll put that one on because I think that's worth sharing and talking about. So certainly that's why we're born as well as why Jesus was born. Again, Jesus was born to save. He was born to serve. He was born to rule. If we don't understand those three key things about Him, we don't know Jesus. So my challenge to you is to study and explore those things even further. What does it mean that He was born to save? What does it mean that He was born to serve? What does it mean that He was born to rule? And what do those things mean to me? Because therein is your life purpose as well. So if you want to understand most fully your purpose, understand the purpose of Jesus. Again, for a kid that'll never grow up and get beyond the why stage of life, for me, these things provide sufficient answers. They provide enough answers for me to go from the asking stage about why to deciding I want to follow as closely as I can this Jesus who was born for those reasons. I hope that you also find the same purpose.